Velkommen til Aflyttet med Anders Kjær Ulf.
Velkommen til et program, der i dag har trykket vores skæg og blå briller hele vejen igennem ansigtet og ud på den anden side. Derude der ligger der en sprængfarlig historie, der er så god, at den måske ikke holder vand. Men historien handler om de amerikanske tech-giganters forhold til Pentagon. Og en af hovedrollerne i den spilles af Google, en anden af Facebook, og den tredje altså af det amerikanske militær. Det hele er resultatet af en mands arbejde. Han hedder Nafis Ahmed, og ham skal du møde lidt senere i den her aflyttede special, hvor vi tager et svimmelt kig ned i noget, der benægtes hårdnakket, men som, hvis man googler det lidt, sagtens kan finde en masse beviser for, at der findes en magtfuld privat tænketank med medlemmer fra Pentagon, der styrer tech-verdenen for at få kontrol med internettet og med os. Jeg hedder Anders Kjær Ulf. Velkommen til.
What is the state of Google's relationship with the NSA?
What relationship? They didn't knock.
So it's not even complicated.
They didn't knock, they didn't call, they didn't send a letter. They just visited.
Sidste år blev den ene af Googles stiftere, Larry Page, interviewet af tv-kanalen Bloomberg om deres forhold til NSA. Det var efter, at Edward Snowden havde afsløret, at NSA indsamlede oplysninger fra tjenester som Yahoo, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook og Google. Programmet, de gjorde det med, det hed Prism, og oplysningerne fra Snowden rystede hele den digitale verden. Men vi har ikke noget forhold, NSA og Google altså, siger Page. NSA kom forbi, de ringede ikke i forvejen, de sendte ikke engang et brev, og de ringede slet ikke på døren. De kom bare forbi, sagde altså Page. Og det er den formulering, Google har holdt fast i lige siden. Vi har ikke noget med efterretningstjenesterne at gøre, ikke mere end vi skal gøre rent lovligt set. Det var pinligt og trist for vores brugere, at man har misbrugt vores data, men det er slut nu, og det kommer ikke til at ske igen. Men det er der nogen, der ikke helt tror på. En af dem er den kontroversielle engelske journalist Nafis Ahmed, der for et par uger siden udgav to monstrøst lange artikler. Den første hedder How the CIA Made Google, hvordan CIA lavede Google, og den anden How Google Made the NSA, hvordan Google kom ind i NSA. Vi taler om i alt 80 meget tætskrevne sider, pakket med navne og sammenfald og datoer, og det hele er jo crowdfundet og udgivet på det website, der hedder medium.com til fri afbenyttelse, public service, men der er ikke ret mange ud over de sædvanlige konspirationssites, der har taget historien op endnu. Det er synd, synes vi her på Aflyttet, for den handler egentlig slet ikke om Google. Den handler om en privat tænketank, The Highlands Forum, der siden starten af 90'erne har formet Pentagons politik. Og så handler det om fremtidens robotkrige, udført med kunstig intelligens og udviklet af mennesker, der elsker og tilbeder en fremtid, hvor USA leder resten af verden ind i singulariteten. Jeg ringede til Nafis Ahmed og forsøgte først at få en kort version af den her lange historie.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we can condense it. The story that Google was merely an independent entity is slightly more complicated, and that actually there were very close contacts between Google and the CIA and representatives of the CIA and the NSA. You know, even during the development of its main search engine, and that this kind of relationship has effectively continued all the way until today, and it's evolved. And you know, it's gone in various directions, and obviously this raises a lot of questions, really, about you know, the extent to which many of the web platforms that we use today are in fact in some way you know, kind of extended arms of the U.S. national security apparatus, and that does raise a lot of questions about privacy, about surveillance, about whether things have gone slightly too far.
Som man måske allerede nu kan fornemme, så findes der ikke nogen kort version af den her historie, så vi har bestemt os til at bruge resten af programmet på den. Men først lidt om Nafis Ahmed. Nafis Ahmed er en engelsk forfatter, undersøgende journalist og ekspert i internationale sikkerhedsspørgsmål. Han er direktør for Institute for Policy Research and Development og har skrevet bogen The Crisis of Civilization. Han skriver for teknologiwebsitet Motherboard på Vice Magazine, og indtil for nylig, ja, så skrev han også på en blog hos The Guardian om miljøproblemer. Men den blev for kontroversiel for dem, og samarbejdet ophørt med mange diskussioner om hvorfor. Det er en diskussion, man kan følge, hvis man googler det lidt. Nu har han så begået de her utrolig mange sider på nettet om, hvordan Google blev til, og hans version, den stemmer ikke med den officielle. Officielt så gik Sergey Brin rundt med rulleskøjter på Stanford og opfaldt algoritmen bag Googles søgemaskine. Men ifølge Nafis Ahmed, så havde han nogle meget stærke hjælpere. Det var CIA og et par andre efterretningstjenester, der var med til at betale det program, han fulgte på Stanford Universitetet. Ikke nok med det, han rapporterede direkte til to repræsentanter fra efterretningstjenesterne undervejs, siger altså Nafis Ahmed. Men i virkeligheden er Ahmeds historie slet ikke historien om Google. Den handler om en gruppe mere magtfuld end Bilderberg og Davos og den trilaterale kommission. En gruppe ved navn The Highlands Forum og om hvordan den amerikanske militærindustri siden begyndelsen af 90'erne har gennemtrængt hele den akademiske verden af startups, hvor de er med til at finansiere og styre ting, som de mener passer i deres kram, og hvordan Pentagon i dag sidder tungt på stort set alt, vi bruger fra internettet.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's interesting that, I mean, the Pentagon agency, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research and Projects Agency, has, you know, openly, you know, taken credit for its role in advancing the rise of the internet. And I think, again, to some extent, that's well known. But I think what's not so well known is the extent to which agencies like DARPA and other agencies like the CIA and the NSA played a very direct role in not just the internet generally, but also in some of these very well-known technologies that we see and we know and we're very familiar with every day, like Google, like Facebook, and have actually had very, very direct connections to the people that have been involved in, you know, kind of spearheading these new technologies. You know, and I think that's something which needs to be kind of understood a lot more, and my effort was to really home in on this group called the Highlands Forum, which is a Pentagon-sponsored sort of like a think tank, which until my investigation really has not received any kind of coverage in the mainstream press, except for maybe one or two articles here and there, but no one really knows about the Highlands Forum. But the Highlands Forum has actually existed since around 1994, according to its founding president, Richard O'Neill. It was, according to the documents that I, public documents that are unclassified, but they are official Pentagon records. The Office of the Secretary of Defense has been sponsoring the Highlands Forum since around this time, in mid-1990s, to help coordinate and develop the Pentagon's information operations. And from looking at all of the various statements that have come out from various different snippets, whether it's from books, journals, from looking through databases, you know, kind of really trying to, I had to kind of really string together bits and pieces of information about the forum from a wide range of different sources, as they would not speak to me on the record. And what came together is that the Highlands Forum has been the Pentagon's main mechanism to canvass ideas and strategies and expertise and funding across the private contractor community, the tech community, even kind of media professionals who write on technology, a whole range of various industries, and essentially to develop ideas on how to advance the Pentagon's information warfare strategies. And I think this is the context in which we can see many of the attempts to in a way manipulate or form very close relationship with organizations like Google. And in fact, Google's relationship with this particular forum has been continuous over many years, and many senior executives that are actively in Google now were either members of the Highlands Forum or even co-chairs of the forum. And that is something which I think reveals the extent to which Google in particular almost has functioned in a kind of revolving door capacity with the Pentagon.
Der er ikke så mange, der ved, at det amerikanske militærs udviklingsenhed DARPA har haft en direkte rolle i udviklingen af internettet, som vi kender det. Der er endnu færre, der er klar over, at blandt andet Google og Facebook også er kraftigt under indflydelse fra den amerikanske militærindustri, siger altså Nafis Ahmed. Og så er der Highlands Forum. Highlands Forum skabes oprindeligt i Pentagon i 1994 som en intern tænketank med en række højt betroede medarbejdere fra Forsvarsministeriet. Men man vælger ret hurtigt at etablere tænketanken som et privat firma uden for Pentagon. Et firma, hvor chefer og formænd kommer fra Forsvarsministeriet, DARPA eller Homeland Security. Ifølge Nafis Ahmed lægges tænketanken uden for Pentagon for at undgå referater og statskontrol. Her skal man kunne tænke frit og stort. Og det bliver der gennem årene, også med deltagere fra store techfirmaer, som netop Google, som Nafis mener, har været særligt aktive i samarbejdet og fælles interesser med Highlands Forum. Men er Google så simpelthen det amerikanske militærs forlængede arm? Nej, mener Nafis. Og dog.
But I mean, I don't want to. One thing I don't want to do is to go too far in making sweeping statements. But I think when we look at the way in which Google has basically developed since inception, you know, from 96 to 98, Sergey Brin, the Google co-founder, was developing the search engine at Stanford, and was in that period every 3 months was meeting two representatives of the U.S. intelligence community, Bhavani Thurasingam, who is now a director of the University of Texas's Cyber Research Institute. And at that time, she worked at the Mitra Corporation, managing a CIA-NSA program to develop new technologies to manage huge amounts of data. And her colleague was a CIA official known as Rick Steinheiser, who also met with Sergey Brin in this period, according to Thurasingam. This is what she told me. And what's interesting is that even Brin's own journal paper actually confirms that he did receive funding through the National Science Foundation from this very same intelligence community initiative. He actually refers to it quite specifically, the Massive Digital Data Systems Initiative, which was an intelligence community program. And I you know, I've got the put up some of the documentation to confirm that, as well as my interview with Professor Thurasingam. So that gives an idea of how closely involved the CIA was with Sergey Brin. Now, obviously, I think, you know, when we evaluate this kind of evidence, if we want to, you know, in terms of journalistic impartiality, I have to acknowledge, you know, Sergey Brin happened to be in the right place at the right time. In a way, we can see he got lucky. He was part, you know, the funding didn't go directly to him, you know, straight through him. It went through his faculty supervisor, Professor Jeffrey Ullman. So it was part of a wider thing. But the fact is that the intelligence community clearly took an interest in Sergey Brin in particular, and to such an extent that they were meeting with him regularly until he actually completed his work and completed his development of Google. And I think that's significant. So I think what that proves for sure is that Google had an almost incestuous relationship with the intelligence community since then, in a way which has to this day been officially denied, and Google have continued to deny it. Even though, you know, the evidence really is really a matter of public record. Actually, it's not, it's, and it's absurd actually that Google continue to say that this is not true. And that, for me, raises this whole question: if there is an effort to deny something which is clearly, you know, factually clear, you know, very obvious here, why are they denying it? And I think that then brings us to this issue of, well, what are they trying to hide? And does this suggest that Google really is an arm of the Pentagon? Maybe if not, maybe not in the sense of being completely owned by the Pentagon, but certainly in terms of the way in which Google has been nurtured, the way in which the finances have been nurtured. I mean, one of the things I pointed out was that the man who was responsible for the valuations of Google and Facebook, George C. Lee, who is a partner at Goldman Sachs, he was also a major donor to an initiative that has sponsored the Highlands Forum, the Pentagon's Highlands Forum, in its partnership with a major U.S. academic institution. So that kind of incestuous relationship shows very clearly that there are these interlinkages between financial networks, defense networks, tech networks, which are actively being exploited and nurtured in the interests of the US military-industrial complex.
Forholdet mellem Google og Pentagon er nærmest incestuøst, hævder altså Nafis Ahmed, der blandt andet peger på, at Sergey Brin jo altså rapporterede direkte til CIA under skabelsen af søgemaskinen flere gange om måneden. Samtidig, ja, så er Brin jo også bare en mand, der var det rigtige sted på det rigtige tidspunkt, indrømmer Nafis. Men siden dengang har masser af Googles chefer, ifølge ham, bevisligt deltaget i talrige møder med Highlands Forum, og der er så mange beviser for de her møder og samarbejder, at han slet ikke forstår, at Google overhovedet gider benægte dem. Men det gør de, og det meget bestemt og kortfattet. Sergey Brin was not part of the Query Flux program at Stanford, nor was any of his project founded by the US intelligence bodies. Brin var ikke en del af Query Flux-programmet på Stanford, og ingen af hans projekter var betalt af efterretningstjenester, lyder det officielle, og i øvrigt eneste svar, som Google har givet Nafis på den byge af spørgsmål, han har sendt til dem. Aflyttet har også haft hans artikel forbi Googles afdeling i Danmark. De har ikke noget at tilføje og kalder det hele for en konspirationsteori. Og det kan det jo også sagtens lyde som, hvis det hele altså kun havde handlet om Google. Men det gør det ikke. Det handler også om CIA's frontfirma, InQtel, der investerer i teknologiløsninger på vegne af efterretningstjenesten, og som blandt andet var dem, der solgte Keyhole-satellitsoftware-systemet til Google i 2004. Det her er satellitsoftware-system, der senere blev til noget, vi alle sammen kender, nemlig Google Maps. Google Maps genopstod jo senere i en specialversion til det amerikanske militær og til National Imagery and Mapping Agency, det er NSA's egen satellitspionagetjeneste. Det hele er i princippet fuldstændig uformelt og har ikke noget med hinanden at gøre, og det har det så i den grad alligevel, hævder altså Nafis Ahmed.
Well, interestingly, InQtel, is supposed to be the CIA's kind of venture capitalist firm, which they, you know, the CIA set it up around 1999. And the idea was that they needed to have an investment arm on that would be run effectively by people who were pioneers in the tech industry, who were entrepreneurs, who knew, the market, and would be able to essentially with an understanding of the kinds of technologies the CIA was looking for, make the investments in kind of promising tech industry startups that they thought would produce technologies that might be useful for the CIA and useful for other intelligence agencies. And as InQtel has grown with a lot of success, its remit in providing technologies to the US intelligence community has also widened, and it's now it's now catering for the interests of a wide range of agencies inside the intelligence community, from the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, as well as the NSA and various other agencies. Now, what's interesting with InQtel is, again, we find these very incestuous relationships where on the one hand, the Pentagon's Highlands Forum, where actually this idea of the Pentagon needing to reach out to the private sector to harness the best ideas, especially in terms of information technology. I mean, this idea actually preceded Inkutel. It was first born in the Highlands Forum. And many of the people who were involved in the Highlands Forum from its inception were integrally involved as founding board members of Inkutel. So William Perry, who was Clinton's defense secretary, when he asked Richard O'Neill, who was a Pentagon official at the time, and asked Richard O'Neill to set up the Highlands Forum to do this work on information operations. William Perry was one of the founding board members of Inkutel. John Seely Brown, who is a chief scientist at Xerox PARC, which is a major defense contractor, which has done a lot of advanced kind of research in robotics, artificial intelligence, as well as data mining. Brown is also a longtime member of the Pentagon Highlands Forum. He was also a founding board member of Inkutel. And the list really goes on. There are other people who are involved in the Pentagon Highlands Forum who went on to join the board of Inkutel later, such as Anita Jones, who is a head of DARPA, and so on and so forth. And we find that other people, sort of just, even the CEO of Inkutel, Gilman Louie, he was also engaged in the Pentagon's the international component of the Pentagon Highlands Forum, which was an event that was conducted in Singapore after 9/11. It was conducted every year or every 2 years, I think. And this was an international event that would have defense officials from essentially many of the Five Eyes nations. You know, you'd have UK, Britain, you'd have the various European countries, Australia, and Sweden, Germany, France. You'd have representatives of countries which have effectively played a key role, as we now know, post-Snowden, in the kind of mass surveillance policies that have been pursued under the remit of the NSA. So Gilman Louie also participated in those meetings, as well as in earlier Highland Forum meetings. So this kind of just demonstrates that, you know, we have a whole social network here. What I've called it a shadow social network, because it's in a sense supposed to be invisible. It's not something which is publicly spoken about, it's through that kind of networking, rather than a kind of like a very simple grand plan or centralized agency that we can pin down. It's through that kind of networking and influencing that we've seen the Pentagon being able to influence the startup community. And I think in a way that's a lot more disturbing, because it's through those kind of informal connections outside of the public eye that we see these relationships being forged in a way which is completely out of the reach of public accountability and public scrutiny, because it's not even a part of official government processes.
Inkutel, Highland Forum, Pentagon og DARPA og en række hemmelige tjenester udgør ifølge Nafis Ahmed et skyggenetværk, et socialt netværk af mennesker, der mødes med europæiske partnere til store konferencer, uden egentlig at tage formelle beslutninger, der kan føres til referat. Og det er bekymrende, mener han, især fordi Highlands Forum, som er den drivende kraft bag konferencerne, er så magtfulde og direkte forbundet med Pentagon. Men det er ikke kun Pentagon og Google, der er rodet ind i det her. Det er også Facebook, endnu en partner i Snowdens klækkede Prism-program.
Well, yes, certainly. I mean, in Facebook, again, you know, again, what we see here is this, rather than it being a simplistic case of secret money from the government pouring into Facebook, it's these informal networks and relationships which are difficult to pin down, but we see that, you know, all the people on the board of Facebook are people who are very, very close to the US intelligence community. For example, you know, I mean, Peter Thiel, who was he's one of the third board members of Facebook. He is also well known as a co-founder of Palantir. You know, it's a matter of public record that Peter Thiel, when he was working to basically, you know, kind of get Palantir off the ground, And there was, in fact, not very much interest from investors kind of in the traditional kind of circuits. He basically went to see various people in the intelligence community who were very interested by what he was trying to do. And he met with he actually met at the house of Richard Perle, who was very close to Andrew Marshall, who is a co-chair of the Pentagon Highlands Forum. At Richard Perle's house, he met with John Poindexter, who, of course, was the main guy who had been appointed by Bush after 9/11 to kind of oversee, you know, the new kind of massive surveillance programs at that time. They were run out of DARPA, you know, and it was called Total Information Awareness. And it's now very well known, very well documented that was really very much a precursor to some of the surveillance projects that we, you know, that have now gone on to kind of be run under the NSA that were exposed by Snowden. So again, what we're seeing here is not so much a simplistic case of, you know, here you have the Pentagon with a secret bank account putting money in. In fact, the Pentagon doesn't need to have secret bank accounts. What the Pentagon has been trying to do, what the CIA has been trying to do, I mean, and we see this paradigm clearly with Incutel, is to basically encourage and canvas finance to make the investments which the intelligence community wants to kind of, you know, they want to see these kind of certain technologies to go somewhere. So they'll basically encourage through their networks various financiers to invest. And this is something that this idea was pretty much in a way developed in the Pentagon Highlands Forum. And it's something that we can see has been done very, very successfully with something like Facebook, where almost everyone who's invested in Facebook is someone who is very closely aligned with the Pentagon, with the US intelligence community, in terms of their previous financial activities, in terms of their ideology, in terms of the networks in which they move. And that basically shows the extent to which something like Facebook can be co-opted. And of course, I mentioned before that the same guy who did Facebook's second huge valuation, who also did the ones for Google and other previous big tech companies like, you know, eBay and PayPal, George Lee, is intimately, you know, related to the Highlands Forum. You know, he's actually personally donated money to fund this new initiative between the Monterey Institute for International Studies and their cybersecurity division, which is now partnered formally with the Highlands Forum. And basically, the donor for that initiative is this same guy, George Lee, who's a partner at Goldman Sachs. You know, and, you know, George Lee's colleague, Phil Venables, is also someone who has frequently attended various Highlands Forum meetings. You know, he's another partner at Goldman Sachs, specializing in cybersecurity himself. And of course, there is Stephen Friedman, who a former chairman of Goldman Sachs, who was also a founding board member of Incutel, and was until very recently when he resigned, was on the board, the executive board of Goldman Sachs, and was effectively the boss of George Lee and Phil Venable. So we see that these interlocking connections provide the explanation for the context in which all of this stuff is taking place, that we see effectively people who are very closely aligned, they have a very, very similar vision of the world, that, you know, they already are very heavily interlocked in terms of revolving doors, are now utilizing those interrelationships to effectively co-opt the tech startup community and to develop technologies that can be used by the Pentagon, by the US intelligence community. And in a sense, it's not entirely surprising that this is happening. You know, if you recognize the way in which power is concentrated in the United States, you know, one would almost be able to have expected that this would be the rational way to behave if you're attempting to pursue your interests, you know, maximize profits, even from within the perspective of the Pentagon's, you know, their doctrines of maintaining U.S. preeminence, which are very well known and not controversial. This idea of maintaining information superiority follows very logically from those doctrines if you simply accept them uncritically. And that's the danger here, is that when we look at many of the people who are involved in this, they are driven by this, you know, this ideology of complete self-belief in their right, effectively, and their duty to ensure that the United States maintains this level of information superiority through these different processes. And I think that's something which is worth bearing in mind, that actually in a way which is very worrying is rather than it simply being a case of Machiavellian self-interest. And of course, there are many contractors who are involved in this, whether it's Booz Allen Hamilton or Science Applications International Corporation or LIDOS, which are also linked to the Highlands Forum. You know, and they're making massive profits out of this kind of thing. So there's definitely self-interest involved. But on the other hand, there are lots of bureaucrats involved who are able to really believe that they're doing this for the greater good. And I think that combination is very dangerous.
Der løber ikke direkte penge fra regeringen ind i Facebook, men bestyrelsen i Facebook, for eksempel Peter Thiel, der også har skabt Palantir, et stort firma, der har CIA og NSA som kunde, har rigtig meget med Pentagon at gøre, siger Nafis Ahmed. Disse mennesker mødes både i Highlands Forum og privat, hvor de også taler med folk som John Poindexter, det var manden bag det berømte og berygtede TIA, TIA eller Total Information Awareness, et overvågningsprogram, der var så vanvittigt omfattende, at det blev lagt ned, da det blev foreslået i første omgang, kun for, efter 9/11, at blive genoplivet som Stellar Wind. Et program, der senere blev afsløret af whistleblowerne William Binney og Thomas Drake fra NSA, uden at det dog fik nogen konsekvenser. Pentagon og efterretningstjenesterne er ikke nogen, der har hemmelige bankkonti. Men de har kontakter til folk med mange penge, og de rige mænd, der har investeret meget kraftigt i Facebook, det er faktisk folk fra forsvarsindustrierne. Highlands Forum har flere medlemmer, der kommer fra to meget magtfulde hjørner af verden. Booz Allen Hamilton, det var dem, der i sin tid ansatte Edward Snowden, og Goldman Sachs, som vi jo også kender her i Danmark. Alle disse mennesker udgør et netværk, der er bundet ind i hinanden, udnævner hinanden og støtter hinandens projekter økonomisk. Det er ikke overraskende, at det sker, siger Nafis Ahmed. Alle forsøger for det første at maksimere deres egen profit, og det gør man jo blandt andet ved at prøve at styre kommunikationen om, hvad man egentlig går og laver. Og her bliver det uhyggeligt. Alle de her mennesker mener, de har ret og pligt til at gøre, hvad de gør, og det er det aller værste, siger altså Nafis Ahmed. Det lykkedes det her netværk både at maksimere deres eget udbytte og være helt overbevist om, at de gør det for vores allesammens bedste. Og det er farligt, mener altså Ahmed. Men hvis vi nu vælger at tage hans ord for gode varer, hvad kan vi så gøre ved det?
Well, I think it's a difficult one, because at the end of the day, you know, something like Google, for example, has become almost omnipresent. You know, it is the default search engine. So it's very difficult for the average person to be able to extract themselves from these kinds of tools which have now become a part of everyday life. But I mean, what's interesting is that if we look at something like Facebook, I mean, there are many, you know, IT experts and people who are kind of very familiar with the dynamics of the market in terms of the different social networks that are emerging. And many of them have said that they believe that Facebook is bound to lose many of the followers that it has at the moment. And in fact, there's already been a discernible trend in the, even though there are many, you know, all these millions of accounts, a large number of them are not actually being actively used. And it's not even because people are concerned about privacy. It's just because people have got better things to do. They're not finding it that useful. They prefer other ways of maintaining contact with people. And in fact, new and emerging technologies, whether it's WhatsApp or Telegram or Snapchat, you know, they're just coming up so fast, and in a way are kind of grabbing the attention of the younger generation. So I think on the one hand, what we're going to be seeing is that as these new technologies emerge, there is going to be an attempt by not just the US military intelligence community, but also their allies in finance and in government, to be pushing for further controls on the internet, because they don't want, they know that these new social networks that are going to come about could challenge the hegemony of things like Google and things like Facebook. And so there is this desire to say, well, you know, we don't want encryption. We don't want all of these things. We want, you know, we want to be able to intrude on everything. At the same time, you know, I think as users, we have a responsibility and an opportunity in a way. And obviously we have to make a choice. I mean, to some extent, when you use Google, use Facebook, you know, there is a, there, because everybody's plugged into it, there is certainly, you know, if you want to communicate with a lot of people or stay in touch with friends, sometimes it's the easiest thing to do because no one is moving. And it's understandable. But I think there is going to come a point where, you know, we may have to start thinking about whether we want to make a choice to move to these new and emerging technologies, which maybe are more privacy conscious, which are open to, which, you know, have better encryption, and maybe even have better functionality. And I think as users, it's important that we continue to explore these other options and to be aware fundamentally, even if we're going to use these tools. You know, and I know I'm someone who uses these tools, and I find them very useful. And in fact, it's in that context that I wrote this story. It's not as someone who is inherently against Facebook or Google, but as someone who actually uses these and is very dismayed, actually, by the extent to which we have been, you know, deceived by the people who've created these things. And I think it's that in that context that I think we need to be conscious. So, for example, as a journalist, you know, I'm now having to think about my emails and, you know, the fact that I use Gmail, and you know, I have to think now about you know, using Gmail for completely non-sensitive communications, but for sensitive communications, for example, with very important sources, you know, I can't use Gmail, things like that. So I think it's in that kind of area where we are concerned to protect ourselves, it's important that we begin to explore the various tools that are out there, because there are lots of tools out there. And whereas some of them may be not so user-friendly, many are being developed which are quite user-friendly and don't take long to learn at all. And it's definitely only for our benefit if we kind of become a little bit more literate in these tools to be able to navigate them and use them more effectively. The more that people do this, the more it will become clear that the market, the consumer market, has made a choice and has said that we don't want these kind of tools. That will completely undermine the business models of these tools, because if they can't sell the user data, and that user data becomes meaningless and not really very useful, you know, these guys are they're not going to be able to survive, and they will have to then change their model to meet our requirements. So I think there is scope for action. There is scope to change the way things are going. But we need to become more conscious, more literate, learn more about these things, and begin actually transitioning to other alternatives.
Det vil være meget svært at undgå at bruge Facebook og Google, men måske klarer markedet det sjovt nok for os. Der er nemlig ved at være et krav for befolkningerne om andre værktøjer, og det truer selve strukturen. Det betyder samtidig, at firmaerne og Pentagon ønsker mere kontrol, de vil forbyde kryptering og den slags, siger Nafis Ahmed, og at Google netop har indført kryptering selv, betyder ifølge ham mindre i den sammenhæng. Nafis Ahmed har selv anvendt Google til at søge sin historie frem. Han er nødt til at tænke over den måde, han bruger mails på. Hvis det er vigtige og følsomme ting, kan han ikke bruge Gmail. Men der er jo masser af andre værktøjer derude, og dem vil folk begynde at bruge i fremtiden, siger han. Jo mere vi gør det, jo mere vil det underminere deres forretningsmodel. Men hvad er Highland Forums formål? Er det netop ikke at styre det hele og holde øje med alt?
I don't think so, no. I mean, one of the things I wrote in my article really was that towards the end of my part two was that, you know, the fact that I was able to do this investigation in a way proves completely wrong the assumptions of this forum. And one thing I found quite interesting was that when I even though there's very little about the forum online, there is snippets of information that you can get you know, kind of in the public record here and there. And what's clear is that not, the people who are running this thing, it never occurred to them that someone might kind of notice that, wait a minute, there's this thing that which is existing, which is being run by the Pentagon, and what the hell is it doing, and how come we don't know about it? And it never occurred to them that someone would actually start piecing things together. And look, I don't think they actually realized that the bigger picture of what was going on was actually available if someone was decided to dig quite diligently and piece together, that actually there was a bigger picture that would emerge. And in a way, the hubris was evident in the fact that they even had photos of the forum of featuring people like General Keith Alexander, who attended one of the forums in 2008 to receive a briefing behind closed doors. And there was a picture of him at this briefing. And if I hadn't found that picture, for example, I would never have known that Keith Alexander had been briefed in this way. And there are a number of other photos, such as the photo of Peter Norvig, who is the head of research at Google, talking to an official a senior official in the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency, and they're having a chat at the forum. So those kinds of photos actually revealed a lot more about the forum, and you can almost see that there was this kind of expectation that no one's going to basically care, no one's going to look at this stuff because no one knows. We've tightened it so much, and the reality is that they haven't. They can't control the information revolution that has emerged through these technological developments. They are trying to, and they're desperate to, but they can't. And I think my investigation is only one small example of that, and there are many other examples of people using open source investigative techniques and other kinds of techniques to dig out facts using tools like Google and the various databases that you can apply Google searches to. And I think that's an interesting irony, and I think it shows that ultimately, in the long run, this desire to control information in this way, which, you know, gives them extended superiority over the rest of us, is bound to fail in the end. And really, the quicker that is realized, the better for everyone.
De artikler, jeg har skrevet, er faktisk beviset på, at Highlands forumstrategi ikke har virket. Nafis Ahmed har nemlig brugt Google til at finde fotos, blandt andet af Keith Alexander, den tidligere chef for NSA, der er til møde hos Highlands Forum, og der er mange andre ting, de ikke har haft styr på. De prøver at styre informationsrevolutionen, men det kan man ikke, og det gør dem desperate, siger Nafis, der samtidig synes, det i virkeligheden er fantastisk ironisk, at netop Googles søgemaskine leverer beviserne mod Highlands Forum. Men bag det morsomme, så gemmer der sig en plan. En plan om krig på højteknologisk niveau. En plan om Skynet, et system af maskinel kunstig intelligens styret krigsførelse.
Brewster.
We're hoping to hell here you got some kind of solution for us.
I know what you're looking for, sir, but Skynet is not ready for a system-wide connection.
That's not what your civilian counterparts over there just told me. They say we can stop this damn virus. Now, I understand there's a certain amount of performance anxiety over there, but your boys are saying that if we plug Skynet into all of our systems, it'll squash this thing like a bug and give me back control of my military.
Mr. Chairman, I need to make myself very clear. If we uplink now, Skynet will be in control of your military.
But you'll be in control of Skynet, right?
That is correct, sir.
Vi kender Skynet fra en film. Det er den dystopiske Terminator-filmsaga, den med Arnold Schwarzenegger, der siger, I'll be back. I filmen tager Skynet selv kontrol over hele verden, og snart kører der en endeløs krig mellem maskiner og mennesker. I virkeligheden har folkene bag Highlands Forum rådet Pentagon til den udvikling af dronekrig, robotkriger, massiv højteknologisk overvågning for NSA og generelt cyberkrigsførelse med automatiske hackerangreb mod andre nationer, vi netop nu ser begyndelsen på. Det har et navn. Det er ikke Skynet, men Defense Innovation Initiative.
So I mentioned Skynet. So basically, I mean, this was what first got me onto the Highlands Forum. I did a story for Vice in around November last year, which was talking about the Defense Innovation Initiative that had been announced by Chuck Hagel literally a week before the White House declared his resignation. Now, the Defense Innovation Initiative is essentially a kind of a big big effort to kind of transform the Pentagon by basically integrating cutting-edge disruptive technologies, whether it's in artificial intelligence or robotics or biotechnology, across the board, basically integrating it into Pentagon. You know, and there's a lot of stuff about networked warfare and having like a automated war using drones and kind of automated targeting, essentially kind of more and more kind of making warfare autonomous and without having the need for direct human control. Now, what was interesting was that I discovered a white paper that had been published by the National Defense University in Washington about 2 months before this initiative was formally declared. The author, or the co-author of that paper, was Linton Wells. Now, Linton Wells was a co-chair of the Pentagon Highlands Forum around kind of the late 90s. And in that capacity, he was also a senior defense official. I think he was assistant deputy secretary for networks and integration, which at that time was the main office that was in charge of the main kind of surveillance intelligence agencies like the NSA and the DIA and others. And he actually played a very key role, by his own admission as well, in kind of rolling out a lot of the National Security Agency surveillance programs from around 2007, 2008 onwards until today. So a lot of the things that Snowden actually had ended up revealing in his disclosures. Now, what was interesting is that obviously Wells was a member of the Highlands Forum, and this paper that he had written provided a lot of extensive and in-depth kind of insight into the kind of thinking that clearly went into informing this idea of the need for a major kind of defense transformation. At the time, what I even noticed at the time that this idea about Skynet, because the paper actually very explicitly refers to the possibility that and whether or not we take this seriously or whether we think it's plausible is another question. But there are people in the Pentagon who really think this could be happening. And the argument was that by 2030, we could see the development of a very kind of superior level of strong artificial intelligence.
Brewster, this thing works. You get all the funding you ever need.
Yes, sir.
I 2030 kan vi se meget stærk kunstig intelligens, mener Pentagon. På det tidspunkt forestiller man sig automatiske robotsoldater, der selv kan patruljere, kæmpe og dræbe, noget som Pentagon bruger bunker af penge og hjernekraft på at få til at ske. Og der er Google en perfekt samarbejdspartner. De har eksperter i cloud robotics og købt for nylig det tidligere DARPA-projekt Boston Dynamics, der var helt i front med krigsrobotter. Men det stopper ikke der, mener Nafis Ahmed. Der findes nemlig en civil, forskerdrevet bevægelse, man er meget glad for i Pentagon og i Highlands Forum. Den har et navn, Singularitetsbevægelsen. Singularitetsbevægelsen drømmer om og arbejder for det tidspunkt, hvor al maskinel intelligens udvikler en slags ny bevidsthed, forhåbentlig ikke som i Terminator. Dermed vil maskinerne omforme vores, menneskers eksistens til det bedre, mener man i Singularitetsbevægelsen. Singularitetsbevægelsen har en meget stor stjerne i forskeren Ray Kurzweil, der i den grad arbejder for Google. Et tilfælde, det tror Nafis Ahmed ikke.
If you, the Highlands Forum does seem to be some a group which is very much sympathetic to these kinds of ideas about the singularity. And of course, you know, Ray Kurzweil, who is basically the chief scientist at Google, is someone who really has pioneered this concept of the singularity, you know, this idea of us reaching a point where artificial intelligence, you know, becomes fully kind of, you know, overtakes human capacities, and then, you know, we see a complete transformation of human existence as a consequence. Looking through the output of the forum and the discussions, it seems clear to me that this is something that is actively kind of discussed. And in fact, if you look at the if people want to check out the paper published by the National Defense University, I think it was in September last year, you know, they would be able to read what, in my view, amounts to a blueprint for a transhumanist singularity future, with Skynet at the end of it. Obviously, you know, in this context, Skynet is not referred to, using the term Skynet. And once again, I use the term very playfully. I don't mean to suggest that, you know, we're looking at a Terminator future. But I do think it's important to see that the ingredients of that future that we see described in the fictional films are actually present in this paper. And it includes many, many things, such as the use of biotechnology to alter and advance soldiers and their capacity for action on the battlefield, genetic alteration, kind of creating cybernetic hybrid organisms, all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, the idea of computing and, kind of penetrating everything in our life. You know, people refer to this idea of the Internet of Things, and everything being connected wirelessly.
I september sidste år publicerede National Defense University, det amerikanske forsvarsakademi, hvad Nafis Ahmed betegner som et stort lysende blueprint for en singularitetsdrevet transhumanistisk fremtid med Skynet som sidste station. Skynet i Pentagons version er ikke så dystopisk som i Terminator, men alle enhederne fra filmen er der faktisk, og alt er jo forbundet med hinanden via Internet of Things. Det kan være godt for os, mener Nassif, men det, der er bekymrende, er, at det er hardcore militærfolk, der står bag. For de er meget idealistiske, nærmest fanatiske mennesker, og det skræmmer Nafis Ahmed.
And a lot of those things, you know, could possibly be good things if done in the right way, and could be very interesting and very exciting, you know, in terms of a technological stage for humanity. But at the same time, I think what's worrying is that many of the people driving this vision are military supremacists, and they have a very narrow idea of where the world is going and the nature of economics and the nature of what kind of planet we should be inhabiting in the coming years and who should be benefiting from that. And I think that's where we start to see this very kind of ideological idea of the singularity, which almost has this bearing of religious fanaticism to it. I think that's what's slightly disturbing. And I think it's very disturbing that we see many of the people involved in the Highlands Forum, you know, they are sympathetic, and some of the tech people who are involved in the Highlands Forum, but who have actually expressed this kind of idea about this kind of singularity type concept. And I think that is worrying, that we see the Pentagon, you know, in a way kind of nurturing these ideas.
Skynet, the virus is infected. Skynet.
Skynet is the virus. It's the reason everything's falling apart.
Skynet has become self-aware. In 1 hour, it will initiate a massive nuclear attack on its enemy.
What enemy?
Us! Humans!
It may just be my imagination. Whatever it is that's watching, it's not human.
Nafis Ahmeds artikler hedder altså How the CIA Made Google and How Google Made the NSA. Jeg har lagt links op til dem via vores hjemmeside på Facebook og på aflyttet.dk. Du har lyttet til en aflyttet special. Den er forbi nu. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærulf, og jeg er tilbage igen i næste uge i et mere normalt format med mere nyt fra det overvågningssamfund, vi alle sammen bor i. Der, hvor alt er, som det ser ud til at være, gennem linser og logningsbekendtgørelse, og det er nu der, vi sidder, mens vi drømmer om sandheden i en sjæl og et legeme. Det bliver ikke lige nu, men måske om lidt.